Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve, and God is in the miracle-working business. Praise God. This is Sister Glass, and I welcome you to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. And on yesterday's broadcast, I began sharing a subject which is very near and dear to the heart of God. Just in brief summary, what is God doing in this day, in this hour? Well, He's adding members to His family. Souls are being saved in record numbers. We may not be seeing it that greatly here in America, but in other nations of the world where there's persecution, the church is growing by leaps and bounds. In North Korea alone, there's 200,000 believers that meet in secret. So God is moving powerfully in this hour because he's a God of relationship, and He wants His beloved creation, man and woman that He created, every single soul, every single life, to share eternity with Him. But also, simultaneously with that concern upon His heart, as we read what was on the heart of Jesus before He died, as He was praying, recorded in John the 17th chapter, He was concerned about His people, that He was concerned about their relationship, that they might be one. And unfortunately, as we have looked at church history through the centuries, even in current times, there has all the various denominations, all the church splits, all the things that have occurred. I sometimes think how the heart of God must be grieved. He wants us to be together in the unity of the Spirit, having the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ, as I'm pretty simple-minded. He's not schizophrenic. He's not double-minded. If we will really absorb the Word of God, if the Word of God would become our daily bread, if we would so delight to do His will that His law would be in our heart, then out of that unity would flow. And I've been sharing about the subject of the communion of the saints, why that's so important to the Lord. And that Greek word koinonia comes from an adjective meaning common. It literally means a common participation or sharing in something. And as I shared yesterday, a scripture out of the second chapter of Acts. In fact, I'll read it, verse 44. And all that believed were together and had all things in common. This was right after that marvelous message that Peter preached. 3,000 were added to the church daily that particular day. They were baptized, and then God continued to give the increase. It grew exponentially. But they were together and they had all things in common. That was the first meaning of that word for koinonia, a socioeconomic practice, if you will, a community of goods. And why was it important that they shared? Because unfortunately, they were not welcome in the synagogues. The Orthodox Jews did not accept Jesus. They remember the ministry of Jesus. They wanted Him crucified, so they certainly weren't going to accept His followers in the synagogue. For that reason, they began to worship on Sunday, and because they were cut off from, in many cases, livelihood, that they began to share as a mean of surviving and sustenance. And so let's look at the second meaning, which is also rather technical. It means a common participation and sharing. And in many cases, that communion means a contribution of financial help to help the poor brethren. And there is a special emphasis as we read the New Testament, Paul's writings, his teachings, that Christians everywhere were members one of another. They were sharers in each other's wealth. And I'm not just talking about finances. I'm talking about spiritual primarily, as well as material. And if you recall, they organized the deacons, if you will. They appointed deacons, the diaconia, which was a daily distribution to the poor. And so these two different meanings, a community of goods and contributions of material aid to those who were poor and needy, those were technical terms, if you will, of the word koinonia. But for our purposes today, let us focus on a larger and deeper sense of the koinonia that the Lord wants us to experience. So the third point I'd like to share with you is that there's a mutual sharing of privilege. Christians manifest their communion, if you will, or fellowship, out of an awareness, out of a consciousness of a common sharing or participation in certain great spiritual blessings. Is that not true? Those who believe in Jesus enjoy a common participation in Christ Himself, because we are, He's in us, we are in Him, He's the vine, we're the branches, we are bound together in a holy unity. In 1 Corinthians 1 and 10, the scriptures tell us, "I beseech you, brethren, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Beloved, we have been given a new covenant. The New Testament is an unraveling, unveiling, if you will, of what was brought into existence by the blood, by the breaking of the body of Jesus Christ. That's what the communion represents, His blood, His body that was broken, His blood that was shed for us. It represents covenant blessing and tremendous provision that He's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. So as Christians, we have a tremendous, wonderful privilege that we can share in these great blessings that God has provided. He's given to us exceeding great and precious promises that we can be partakers of the divine nature. Is that mind-blowing or what? Of course it is. So there are tremendous privileges that we share, but also, and this is something we should soberly consider, along with those privileges, guess what? There's the mutual sharing of duties and obligations. And this is the other half of the coin. That root meaning is a partnership either in giving or receiving. Paul prays, if you remember, on behalf of Philemon, that the sharing of his faith may become effectual. In other words, that the love inspired by his faith may come into full operation. This concept of koinonia is expressed in Hebrews 13 and 16, where the writer of Hebrews says, "But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." And of course, that word communicate, to do good and to communicate, forget not, that is a word that is used not just of speaking. We think of verbal communication when we hear that word, but it refers to basically lifestyle, our actions, our attitudes, how we live our lives. And so acts of love or charity spring from our Christian faith. What did James say? Faith without works is dead. We show our faith by our works. Not that it is, we're not saved by works, we're saved by faith. But if we love Jesus, works, good deeds will be a natural expression of that love. If you love me, keep my commandments, first of all, Jesus said. And then we will represent the heart of our Father, who's a generous giving God. He loves to give on all levels. And so we are simply ambassadors for the God that we served. And so that was the fourth thing. The third thing was a mutual sharing of privilege. The fourth, a mutual sharing of duties and obligations. And finally, again, we're just speaking of the meanings, the shades of meaning of that word koinonia. All that I've shared before, those basic concepts of koinonia, describe a mutual sharing of one another. And Of course, the highest koinonia that we can experience and enjoy is that more exalted partnership with God. John speaks of this higher koinonia in 1 John 1 and 3 when he writes, "Our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." And, beloved, our fellowship with one another depends on this previous fellowship with God. Listen to this in verse 7. He says, "But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." And so, what do we see? It is still a mutual sharing. It's a reciprocal giving and receiving. And we see that again, that concept beautifully expressed by Jesus. He always loved to use examples. And this is a beautiful example. John 15 and 4, Jesus says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me." The mutual activity can be summed up in two words, grace and faith. What is grace? It's a spontaneous and unstinted divine giving. It's divine favor. And of course, faith is our action in receiving grace, surrendering ourselves without any reserve unto the Lord. Praise God. Well, my time is drawing to a close, and I must pause here, and we'll continue on tomorrow's broadcast. We're going to find out what other scriptures have to say about the communion of the saints, the koinonia of the saints, praise God. But in the moments that remain, I do, as I always, invite you to write and share your prayer needs. This is a ministry of prayer and correspondence. It is one of the joys of my life to be able to receive the prayer requests from UCM partners, or perhaps God moves on a new member of the list from the listening audience, and it's a sacred honor and privilege to be able to pray for you. And I don't need details. I can pray in the Spirit. I can also pray specifically if you give me details. But the importance is that there is agreement, because there's power in agreeing prayer. Again, that's one of God's divine principles. Thank you for joining me today. I love you, and I pray for you every day. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. And may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.